We are continuing the witnesses of the resurrection, the life and times of the early disciples. The title of this, the theme is this, is how many times have you said, I wish Jesus walked the earth when I lived? Or I'd really be impacted by my faith, and would be more profoundly if that were the case. And this class and these classes are intended to close that gap by taking an in-depth look at some of these New Testament characters. So with that, let's go ahead and pray. God, Holy Father, we thank you so much for this morning. God, we pray that you'll be with everyone as they travel in with the weather. God, please be with us as your word is taught this morning. Please be with me to teach it clearly and as the Spirit dictates, Father. God, I pray that our hearts and minds are open and receptive. God, and that we will be encouraged this morning, learning about the Son of Encouragement. God, we thank you. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, I kind of gave it away there.
Yes.
So, going through the previous witness lessons, we've talked about John the Baptist, Mary, mother of Jesus, John, son of Zebedee, Nicodemus, Mary Magdalene, Thomas, Judas Iscariot, James, brother of Jesus, Stephen, Philip the Evangelist. These witnesses were a mother, a brother, a woman with a past, a teenager, a middle-aged man. They were profoundly victorious, tragically failed. They all faced adversity. What you're hopefully seeing in these people are us, right? Some of us. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So you can see, as witnesses, these men and women understood the living hope and inheritance that the resurrection of Jesus gave them. And I think it's encapsulated nicely in this scripture. They were impacted by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. If you think about it, what power do we have if Jesus doesn't raise from the dead? It defines everything. And we believe, obviously we're here, that the resurrection really did happen. It's truly the anchor of our faith. If you believe in the resurrection, then the priorities of this life all fall in its right place, right? And that resurrection is the anchor when doubt and adversity hit our life. It's the anchor and the shield of our convictions when emotions and passions and the tragedies of life attack. So hopefully by looking at these people more like us than we realize, they could realize that they walked like Jesus and witnessed for us. They saw the resurrection, and they testified that the resurrection was real. Amen?
Amen?
So the witness today that we're going to look at is Barnabas. Technically, it's lesson 10 in the series. So, simple topics. What does the Bible tell us about Barnabas? Who he was, his relationships, his character, his convictions. What does history tell us about Barnabas outside of the Bible? And ultimately, what can we learn from Barnabas? Amen? So as you know, from Acts 4:36, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, and not our brother sitting in front of me, but whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So right off the bat, we're introduced in the book of Acts to a man that named Joseph, but we know as Barnabas, and is referenced throughout the rest of the scriptures as Barnabas. How would you like to be written in the book of life, you know, in the Bible, as the son of encouragement? You think about that. I mean, you've been given a nickname. What's a basketball fan? LeBron, he's the king, right? Everybody's got something. But, I mean, he's the son of encouragement. Not a lot of others are assigned those titles. The definition of encouragement, the action of giving someone support confidence, or hope. Persuasion to do or continue something. The act of trying to stimulate, the development of an activity, state, or belief. So that means he's the son of it, meaning that encouragement is his father. He's the son, birthed from it. Okay. So as we know, right from that scripture, very simple, Barnabas' real name is Joseph. He was a Levite, obviously a Jew, from Cyprus. The apostles gave him a new name. And what's interesting in the scripture is if you go through and you read Acts 2, 42, 32 through 35, that's where the disciples sold their possessions, they gave to everyone they had need. There was one guy that was actually singled out, and that was Barnabas. He was mentioned specifically. The only one mentioned specifically. And what's even more interesting is right after that is Ananias and Sapphira. So literally, verse 35 is the scripture about Barnabas. And then right after that, where he sold his field, gave the money, put it at the feet of the apostles. And then it contrasted right away with Ananias and Sapphira, who, you know, with the full knowledge, withhold, and God struck them both down. They were deceitful, and it just interesting that the Bible contrasts it right next to each other. Oops, went too fast. Okay, I'm cheating. Does anybody know where Cyprus is? One person. Two, three. Three. Okay. I did it again. So there's Cyprus. Little island. Eastern part of the Mediterranean Sea. And that is where Barnabas is from. Okay, look at some of the characteristics of Barnabas. I like this. I kind of figured out, okay, what was he, to Paul? And if you one of the things that Paul had, or at this point in the Bible, he's termed Saul, was, they didn't really believe, right? The apostles, because, here he was. He's the one that we studied Stephen earlier, right? And he's the one that said, hey, it's okay to stone him. It's okay to kill Stephen. It's okay to persecute the church. And now you got Saul coming before saying, I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle. Yeah, right. Okay? It's like the early infomercial. That was where it was invented. So they didn't believe him. And so we read, what did Barnabas do? Let's read here in Acts 9, 26. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. This is referring to Paul here. But they all were afraid of him, from what we just discussed, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. So you see very early how one of the aspects of Barnabas being a son of encouragement, he believed in people. He believed in the guy that had disciples killed. Okay? Believed when, we'll find out later, second chances and, there's other things here. So, okay. Obviously from his name, he was an encourager. In Acts 11, verses 22 and 23, it says, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Okay? So he definitely lived up to his name right here in Scripture. It says in the Bible, I love this. This is probably one of the greatest statements, single verses, of a man that I think. I mean, how would I like to be remembered? Read it right here. He was a good man. Who, what does Jesus say about being good? Right? Why do you call me good? He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. I don't know about you, I would like to be deemed as such in the Bible. Amen. Full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, a great missionary. I mean, a great missionary. You know, Paul talks about, in Corinthians, he goes, yeah, I baptized this, probably baptized this, you know, but I don't really remember any other. It says here that Barnabas, who was with Paul through much of his early ministry, brought a great number of people to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Great. He was a good friend. We read further in Acts 11. And this is kind of a, I brought this up here, I don't know if you can see it, but you can see where Antioch was, right? And this is Tarsus up over here. Okay. I mapped it out. It's about 83 miles, what they say what that is, between the two. You know, they didn't have cars back then, right?
No.
And it's interesting, it says, the scripture says that Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. There's a lot here. You know, but he didn't phone ahead, right? He said, hey, Paul, or Saul in this case, I'm coming to come and meet you. You know, send a letter. Not going to send a letter. It's not going to get there. He didn't page him, signal him, or anything else. I mean, you know, he said before, he's ready. He's a man of great faith, right? He went and traveled to Tarsus and went looking for this guy. You know, can only imagine what that took. Okay? Man of great faith, right? How'd you like to go? I mean, I'm not sure that he intended, once he found him, to stay there for a year. You know, Barnabas exemplifies, you know, when we all study the Bible and we sign up to be a Christian, what do we say? We're willing to do what? Go just here? Go where? And do anything, right? This is it. This is it right here. This is it. Okay? Barnabas here showing his love. Okay? You know, you guys, you get that phone call in the middle of the night, got somebody broken down the side of the road. You know, are you running out trying to help them, right? Son of encouragement. The love, the friendship that's here. And what's cool, at the end of this, is Barnabas was part, really, of the founding church where we define Christianity, right?
Sure.
I mean, we all know the scripture. You know, we talk about this. But the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And that's where Saul, Paul, and Barnabas really started. And so here it is. I mean, Barnabas, although, because, you know, he doesn't have any books ascribed to him in the Bible or anything else, really one of the founding fathers of our church. One of the founding fathers. He's listed, you know, in Acts 13, it says, in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, I don't know if he was a prophet and a teacher, or a prophet or a teacher. You know, he has references elsewhere where they say prophets came. So he kind of thinking he's not a prophet. He's probably more on the teaching side. But you don't know from the scriptures. It isn't 100% clear. But he's listed first. You know? He's listed first. It's kind of like on the law firm, right? Martin Hayes and Associates. Right? Right? You want to be the guy that's first, right? Right, Steve? Yeah, you want to be able to do it, right? Right? You want to... Yes, he's a lawyer. So, anyway. But, you know, you want your name first. And he's listed first. Thought a lot of. Okay, one of the things we saw, obviously the missionary. You know, I found it interesting, just studying this out, that you look at it even, I don't have my paper Bible with me, but in the paper Bible, you know, they have that in the study Bibles, you can see it, they have the little maps, and they map out the different things, and it says, you know, the first missionary journey of Paul. It doesn't say the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. But if you look at it, and we just went through it, did Paul come and get Barnabas? No. No, did he? Did Paul come from Tarsus? And by the way, Paul is from Tarsus, by the way, if you're curious why he may have been there. That's originally where he's from. So, but no, he didn't come to Barnabas. Barnabas came to him, come and snatched him up, okay, and brought him and brought him on. So just my opinion, but instead of getting out, it really should be the first missionary journey of Barnabas, right? And Paul, okay? Barnabas and Paul. But he was, you know, and one of the things that you look at, Barnabas was one of the first converted Jews really to understand the universal message of the cross because he preached it to the Gentiles. You got to remember, all these guys that were there, all the guys at Pentecost, everything else, were Jews, right? All these guys are Jews. I mean, I think we, maybe not we, maybe I do. I just kind of take for granted when I hear, oh yeah, the conversion was here, the whole bit and everything else. But it was really just for the Jews originally. You know, there's a whole, we'll get into it a little bit, but you know, the whole council that they had to have and discussion about them going to the Gentiles, you know, unclean, they're not circumcised, all the stuff. But so this is profound. This is why, is anybody in here a Jew? Anybody Jewish? No one. So without Barnabas, I don't know if anybody of us would be here. I mean, you know, God can move in other ways and through other people and what we know. But through Barnabas and Paul, we're able to be Christians. Okay? Because they, through the Holy Spirit, right? And faith, believed that this gospel, this good news, was not just intended for the Jews. That was intended as well for the Gentiles. You just write down the scriptural reference there, Galatians 3:28. Okay, this is probably too small. This is really the first missionary journey. There you go, see? Even my map says first missionary journey of Paul. Barnabas, I couldn't find one that had Barnabas on it. I don't know. I mean, I could have photoshopped it. Where's Alan? Steve or Alan, have you guys ever seen one with Barnabas listed on it? No? Steve Collier, have you ever seen one with Barnabas listed on it? I haven't. But anyway, you can see, I mean, they traveled a lot. This is probably over, you know, a course of 2 to 3 years. And it's all throughout Acts 13. You know, if you go back and read Acts 13 through 14, and they did some amazing things on that journey. This is Barnabas, you know, as a missionary. You know, this is where, you know, in these scriptures where we're talking about, this is where John Mark is mentioned. And obviously, we'll look in a little bit, but he's a very important individual in the relationship of Paul and Barnabas, probably most famous. We'll look at that. Anybody know who John Mark is to Barnabas? That's unfair. You can't answer that. Anybody else? Did you hear that? It's his cousin. Okay? It's his cousin. And that's Colossians 4:10. So John Mark. And who is John Mark? One. Yes, thank you. Wrote the Gospel of Mark. Okay? Wrote the Gospel of Mark. So they're cousins. If you didn't know that, it's just kind of cool when you understand this and you go back and you read it again. It's like, oh, okay. You know, maybe I can understand when, you know, he's fighting for him, wanting to do it. It's his cousin. Okay? All right. When you turn your Bibles, though, if you would, over to Acts 13. I just want to look there. We'll start in verse 2. This is right after where he lists, you know, the prophets and teachers at Antioch, and he says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed there to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. And John was with them as their helper. And it goes on. But one of the things that I noticed throughout is the spirituality of these brothers. You know, it said that the Holy Spirit spoke to them while they were worshiping and fasting. And they said, you know, this is, and they were set apart. They were set apart. You know, I think about it. What else means set apart in the Bible? Holy. Right? Right? So this is holy work that they were intended to do. Oops, I jumped ahead. Sorry. Okay. And the other interesting thing is that you've seen, you know, from hearing the scriptures, have you ever seen a mission team being sent off? You ever seen a mission team being sent off within a church? A lot of times you'll see where they go, and the elders will come and lay their hands on the missionary team, right, and pray over them. This is where this came from. Right there, 13:3. So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Okay? Some of the things that we've seen, for those of us that have been around a while and have seen some of this, it's like, okay, look at this. Barnabas, again, foundation, laying the groundwork for the things that we do today. Yet we don't really talk too much or hear about him too much, right? It's kind of amazing. All right, let me catch up on my notes here. Am I putting you all to sleep?
No.
Okay, all right, that's good. That's good. Okay, what else here? Acts 14, it says, you know, it's a long scripture, but this is actually when Barnabas and Paul, they actually thought they were gods. And they're like, no, we're not, don't do that. But, you know, when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes. So he's an apostle. Not just a disciple, you know, regular disciple. He's actually an apostle. And so what was one of the criteria for being an apostle? Yeah, witness of the resurrection. Or like Paul, right? He actually saw him on the road to Damascus to be able to see that. So, you know, if he's termed an apostle, and I believe the Bible is true, and that's what the criteria was, then he was a witness to the resurrection. Right? Thus, he's in the class, and thus, you know, he's all in there. Okay? But he very likely could have been one of the 500. Okay? One of the 500 that actually witnessed it. Okay? It's, you know, it doesn't say it specifically, but if he was a witness, then, you know, it's good, very, 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 very good chance. Okay? I think you can write down 1 Corinthians 15:6, I believe, is where that's referenced. Just write that down. You can go back to it. Now, I'm going to flip back for a second on the mission. One of the things that is interesting is you kind of see a transition here if you read through this. If you go through Acts 13, and like I said, I don't have time to read the entire thing, but if you go through that, there's a transition in there where you see Barnabas being the dominant figure, and then kind of transitioning to Paul. And it really, Acts 13:13, it's no longer Barnabas and Paul. It's now Paul and his companions. So that Gary Martin Hayes and Associates thing, you know, Barnabas got bumped, you know, from the partner. He got bumped off. And, you know, it's potentially a change in leadership, right? It could be. Again, you don't know that for sure, but it could be a change in leadership. Interesting, right in that time, too, is, Mark, it says that Mark leaves for Jerusalem. There's much stronger language about Mark later on that we'll look at in Acts 15:37-39. But it says here that it simply says that he left for Jerusalem. Okay? So we'll kind of look at that. And, you know, with them sharply describing it later on, you know, you wonder if some of that might have percolated here a little bit. Obviously, it didn't affect him. I mean, that's what's great about Barnabas being so faithful. That was very early on, at least scripturally, in the mission. And they went on and did a ton of other stuff from there. Okay? Let me catch back up now. Okay. Jumping into Acts 15, we mentioned this. This is the council at Jerusalem. And if you don't remember, this was This is the exact statement. Unless you were circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Bring him back into what we talked about, hey, you know, Jews and Gentiles, right? And they were coming down, they're being taught. And so, you know, Paul and Barnabas, it says that they together, not them against each other, got in a sharp dispute with these brothers. Okay? And they were appointed. So, again, you know, this is, you know, you think about Son of Encouragement. You know, all these things, these accolades have been put on Barnabas. But he and Paul, potentially a couple others, they say, were actually appointed to go down to talk to the church, to go down and talk to the elders, to be the one to go down and rectify this situation that was dividing the church. Okay? Again, you know, this foundation, pillar, this great man of faith that, you know, he obviously was admired, right? He was admired in the faith to be able to be appointed. When you read down in verse 12, I thought it was interesting because you kind of get the sense when you're going through reading it that they were kind of going back and forth and back and forth. And then it says that, you know, when they started talking, Paul and Barnabas talk about the miraculous signs and wonders that God had done among the Gentiles. It says that the whole assembly went into silence. So they, you know, these guys, and obviously the work of the Holy Spirit, were respected, were admired. Okay? And really, I think, and it was right here, that was a pivotal moment, because then you see afterward that they got up and agreed that, okay, you know what? We will let these Gentiles go, and they don't have to be circumcised. Now you got to abstain from some other stuff, and you got to do this and the whole bit. And so they came to an agreement, and ultimately, you know, the council drafted a letter, and they sent it back with them, with Paul and Barnabas, and specifically said, you know, you don't have to be circumcised, but abstain from foolish and strangled animals and all these other things. But it's just, again, amazing, you know, that Barnabas was one of the spearheads for this. Again, like I said, one of the reasons why we're able to be here, while we're able to be a Christian here today. Sorry, it's kind of touchy. Okay, let's go jump over with me to Acts 15. We're going to go in verse 36. This is probably more famous between Barnabas and Paul, of course. Just waiting for my iPad to catch up here. Technically, it's actually Adi's. Mine died. So, thank you, Adi. Okay, verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers and all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Now, interestingly enough, this is, you know, this is Acts 15. This is the last time that we read of Barnabas in Acts. Paul and Barnabas, sharp disagreement. They went here, you know, and we don't get, that's it, basically, for Barnabas. It's like, okay, they had this disagreement, and he went. And, you know, and when you read this and you understand that John Mark was his cousin, and that he was with him, and, you know, initially, you know, but what is it, you know, again, what does it tell us about Barnabas? He believed in people, right? You know, what would it be like if we were, you know, for those of us that have kids, if you mess up once, you're done. You know? Or if God treated us that way. You mess up once, you're done. Let's go back to Old Testament, right? You sin and poop, you're dead. You know? It's like, wow. So Barnabas was a great believer in people. Amen. And those of us that lead in the church need to remember Barnabas. Amen. And be encouraged by him. Amen. And believe in others. And you don't have to be a leader, you know, just thinking about it, like, okay, I gotta believe. Got to give, you know, the brother that hurt me today or the sister that hurt me today a second chance, right? Amen. Or a third chance or a fourth chance. Or if you're married, a lot more than that, right? Amen? Okay? Amen? So, now, you know, there's question if there's an eventual reconciliation after this. Because when you read over, you know, I referenced some scriptures here, 1 Corinthians 9, 6, Galatians 2, 11. What time do I got? Let me see here. Yeah, okay, let me see if I can squeeze it in. Jump over with me to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Yeah, I'm clocking it. I don't have all day. That I do not. Yeah, I appreciate it. Be the last time I'll be up here. Sorry. It's called spade spade. So, you know, it's a very brief scripture, but it says, or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living? You know, this is a reference from Paul, and he just, you know, he's a great example. He references him specifically. It's like, here I am. He's a great example still, even after whatever the sharp disagreement took place. Here he is, a great example. When you, in Galatians, and I won't turn there for the sake of time, but that's the whole thing with, you know, with Peter, where he was being a hypocrite. You know, he's like, okay, I'm going to go over with the Gentiles. And okay, but when the Jews come around, oh, I don't know these guys, right? Right? You guys remember that? Okay. And it's interesting at the end of it, because Barnabas is mentioned, because at the end it says, even Barnabas was convinced to come over. You know, as to say, you know, it's like, can you believe it? You know, a brother that great that could be possibly, you know, persuaded to come over. That's how I read it. You know, when you go back and read it with that mindset, you know, when you read it and it's like, oh, wow, that was actually a compliment to him, because, you know, it's like they were shocked that Barnabas would actually participate in what, you know, in that hypocrisy, what Peter was doing. The other references I mentioned earlier, Colossians 4:10, that's, you know, with John Mark. And this is, I said, you know, not just reconciliation with, obviously, that's important with Barnabas, but also with his cousin, John Mark. And in Philemon, Mark is referenced specifically in Philemon 24. And then 2 Timothy 4:11, that one I found very interesting, because really I looked at it like, you know, Paul, this is his last days of his life, he's in prison, and he came to admire Mark so much that he actually requested him to come and be with him in his final days. You know, and I think the scripture actually reads that, you know, have him come, for he's helpful with my ministry. And here, you know, so it sounds like over the years, Paul softened up a little bit, right? Yeah. Right, right. But, you know, he had a coming to Jesus in there somewhere, you know, like, okay, this is a brother in the Lord. You know, I want to reconcile it. And, you know, you just think about with us, when we have those disputes, right? Yeah. Those disagreements. Sometimes, you know, part company. Right, the part company. Okay? But that love, that discipleship, still has to be over that, right? Amen. Right? Amen. Right? Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, right? You know, love is the greatest of all, right? Yeah. I can do all these great things, but if I do not have love, I have nothing, right? So remember that the next time you have that argument, right? That, the grace that we need to extend, amen? Okay. Okay, what time do I got? Okay, 4 minutes. All right. So the historical accounts of Barnabas outside of the Bible, you know, it's basically the same. It's Jewish family, members of the tribe of Levi, we already know that. Because of where they were living, they said he probably was a Greek speaker. Probably spoke Greek. And which was, why does that matter? Well, it's advantageous in him talking to the Gentiles, right? In the area that he was going. So he knew Hebrew, obviously from his family, but he also knew Greek. And so because of that, it's like, you know, God had this plan, right? He already knew it beforehand. It's like, this is the guy. This is the guy. Okay? So he was believed to have been born around 5 AD and died around 61 AD. Obviously, they don't have obituaries that survived from back then, so it's You're realizing, you know, you're relying on canons from various churches, Catholic Church and some others, to get this information. He's believed to have been martyred. Islam is by being stoned to death. Okay? There's another account, just so I'm saying the whole thing. There's another account. Some people believe that, I think actually the Catholics do, they write it in there, that he was hung and then burned, but that's kind of not widely acknowledged because of the fact that his bones are actually, they said they have his bones in a tomb, and when they burned him, then the bones didn't survive. So anyway, so he's believed to have been stoned. Okay? Amen. You know, I'm trying to channel my Gary here. You know, Gary gives you both sides, and, you know. Now, interesting, in the Orthodox Church, is actually, Barnabas has his own day. June 11th, the Feast of Barnabas. So he is looked more highly than some of the other, you know, I guess good dominations. There's also some traditions that Aristobulus of Britannia, say that five times fast, was one of the 70, was the brother of Barnabas. But again, it's not in the Bible, it's not scriptural, it's not there. So there's some alleged writings of Barnabas, a little controversy. You have to go look these up on their own. Tertullian, you've heard of Tertullian if you've listened to the class, especially with Gary. He actually believed that Barnabas was the author of the book of Hebrews. Again, that's not widely acknowledged or accepted, but it is there. It's, you know, there's an epistle of Barnabas that exists. There's also a gospel of Barnabas that exists. But we know, if you ever go and look, just let me just increase your faith if you go research this. But the gospel of Barnabas basically says that Jesus wasn't resurrected, okay? And it's the whole thing to accommodate for the Islam and Muslim faith, all right? It is very old, so it's like about 1,500 years old. But if you go and search it on your own, if you're, you know, like me, a nerd or a geek, and you want to go check that out, go for it. But let me increase your faith that Barnabas was a witness of the resurrection, amen?
That's right.
And so when you read that, know what we know to be truth when you do it, okay? Amen? So what have we learned? Oh, that was too fast. Ah, there you go. Okay. Barnabas was a son of encouragement, right? Barnabas was known as a good man, full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Barnabas was willing to go anywhere and do anything. Barnabas believed in people. I'm still too quick with it. Barnabas brought many people to believe in the Lord. Barnabas had deep convictions and was not afraid to stand up for what he believed in. And Barnabas ultimately understood the mercy and the grace of the Lord in his belief of others. First with Paul, then with John Mark. Amen? So thank you. I'm right on time. Go get your kids. Amen.